Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bestay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show is, it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, workforce development, EV, EV charge, EV manufacturing, and other renewable energy companies owned by African Americans in the U.S. to address the effect of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African American owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives to bring down the unemployment of young African Americans, men and women, locally and nationally, also to educate the African American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you do it on a regular basis, that this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Also, this show is brought to you every week about and get more information about that Black Sports Legends BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative by going over to our GoFundMe link, and you'll find information there concerning this initiative, which you're listening to over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and this program can also be heard on iTunes. This show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which you're truly Ronald Bethay, your host for this show. I am also serving as the president for the National Association of Blacks in Solar at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number of 646-668-2948, because you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into our living room, and we want to discuss some of these issues. Ladies and gentlemen, I have spent a tremendous amount of time on this platform And quite a bit of things go into preparing a show on a weekly basis. And one of those things is research and reaching out and trying to connect with folks who are in the solar or renewable energy area. And one of the things that's very, very interesting to me is that you see all of the different advertising online about these great solar initiatives and programs that they have for Maryland residents. If you are a Maryland resident, which I am, living in Tacoma Park, right outside of our nation's capital, where we're broadcasting from. And it's always interesting when I call these numbers that come into my phone, and I let people know who I am. And basically, I listen to their sales pitch. And you ask, well, I'd like to speak with your specialist before they come out to my home, my residence. I work from home. Oh, no, we send them out. No, you don't send anyone out to my house. I shouldn't send anyone out to your house. If you're educated around this solar energy, you can ask some very, very important and pointed questions that will save you a lot of time and trouble with dealing with various solar companies, because everybody's out here on this mad, I got this quota to make. Well, you may have a quota to make, but you won't make that quota by coming to me and telling me some lies about an industry which I think I'm pretty much an expert on at this point in time. So I usually refer to them. I say, well, are you a third-party lead generator? That means they generate leads for other companies, long and short. We'd like to make it plain here on this show, Solar Now in the Future, for this economic community. Oh, no, no. That's not what we do. That, well, you have my information. I just put it in on a website. After I read the information from the site, I wanted to find out something about these great incentives initiatives in the state of Maryland, because you know when you know it all, then you need to dig a hole and get in it, and that goes for me and everybody else. So, hey, you can learn from me from anybody, a small child. So I'm always open, but when I ask some pointed questions and then they get to telling me that ain't what they do. They send somebody out to your house. No, you don't send anybody to my house. Because that's what you are set up for, to book appointments and hope that leads to a sale. Hey, I get it. You don't want to spend a dime on advertising on shows and platforms such as this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You simply, because I put my information on a website, you try to get some information, you want to send somebody to my house, and I can't talk to them before a representative from their company before they come to my house. No. If anyone calls you with that, tell them to take a hike. You got plenty of competition. If you got a computer, all you got to do is Google. Put solar energy and put your zip code in, and you'll get a plethora of different companies that you can choose, pick and choose. Then you can call your local office on energy and sustainability and find out what is actually available in your market demographic. So that is what we try to do. So that's why I want to sort of drill down on a number of issues. And so I'm going to sort of flip the script today. Rather than starting off on with the topic, DOE announces bipartisan infrastructure law and opportunities for rural America, I'm going to start on DOE launches Solar Communications Award. And I'm going to do that because we've reached out to the Department of Energy here in Washington, D.C., and I have a number of cards here that I always keep. And it's very interesting to me how from one administration to the next administration, not only do they change the phone numbers, they seem to change the numbers to the agency. So I've been calling the Office of Department of Energy, and I want to make sure I'm looking on the card so I get the information correct on the airways, because we don't like to put out misinformation. But the office that I'm speaking about at the Department of Energy is very, very interesting to me. That office is called the Office of Economic Impact and Diversity. And I'm quite sure that the administrations, with the change of the administration from COVID-45's administration, which we refer to as the crook that left office in disgrace, we just refer to him as COVID-45. If you know who the 45th president was, then you know who I'm talking about. We don't even have to mention his name, because we're dealing with the remnants of a war that he got with his partner Putin, and could have played a strategic role in what we see today. So I don't know. You know, the facts are still coming in from the investigation from the January 6th committee. So with that being said, we want to talk about DOE launches Solar Communications Awards. Now, this particular award, I think, came about because of this platform you're listening to. And what sort of sticks into my craw is that I don't need Europeans' validation to know what I'm doing is value. But I would appreciate if they're going to put out an award that it have a monetary value behind it. So there's some type of a financial enumeration for people who are in the area that I'm in, trying to get information out to the African-American community about the solar industry. And all they're telling you is, there's no money at the end of the rainbow, but we will give out this award, America's Shine On Awards, Inclusive Solar Outreach, Shine On Awards. This is BS at the highest level. The U.S. Department of Energy today announced the launch of a new awards program to recognize solar industry communication campaigns that reach underrepresented audience and have the potential to increase diversity of solar adapters and the solar workforce. It sounds like solar now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. The American Made Shine On Awards are inclusive solar outreach Shine On Awards will support DOE's effort to expand equitable adoptions of solar energy, especially in underserved communities, and to increase the diversity in solar workforce. I think that is untrue. Because if it wasn't, they'd have put some money behind this. Coming behind this mic every week costs money. It costs money, starting with the talent, which is me. It costs money because I have to maintain an account with Blog Talk Radio. I have to maintain an account with GoDaddy, because you can't just simply come on and talk about something and not have any place where people can go for information. So we maintain our website, positivechangepc.com. I haven't seen any hosting, any fees that GoDaddy gives away free at all, as though it didn't cost something to produce something if it's worth something. We live in a capitalistic society. I say it's unacceptable when you want to talk about, you want to get something out to the African-American community, that the African-American news media or news outlets got to volunteer Terry or do a public service piece because you want to put solar energy out here. People are making money off solar. It's a billion-dollar industry. It's going to go into a trillion-dollar industry as we move to combat climate change and meet the goals that have been set by the Biden administration that previously was, this began under Obama's administration. Transitioning to solar energy can help thousands across the country save money on their electric bills, reduce their environmental impact, and improve resilience. If paired with storage, millions of Americans have experienced the benefit of solar, but many households have been left out because of the lack of funds or low credit scores, language barriers, or lack of awareness. Adoption of solar, including residential and community solar, can reduce energy burdens for individuals, especially in frontline and disadvantaged communities. Oh, is that a code word for urban communities or African-American communities, Hispanic communities, communities of color? Energy burden is primarily the metric to measure energy insecurity. To meet the administration's goals, rapidly scale up the deployment of solar energy, we must take a concentrated effort to expand outreach to broaden the profile for solar adopters, said Kelly Speaker Backman, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Office of Energy and Efficiency and Renewable Energy at the U.S. Department of Energy. We are excited to recognize creative solar communications campaigns that reflect the diversity of the American people. The Shine On Awards will gather best practices and engage in diverse, underrepresented communities through communication campaigns. To share knowledge, best practices through the solar industry, award winners will present campaigns and successful outreach tactics at a public webinar. If we want to increase solar accessibility, we need to look at communication campaigns that are really helping more Americans experience cost-saving benefits for solar energy. As Abbott, president and CEO of the Solar Industry Association, oh boy, give me a break. The U.S. Department of Energy Shines On Awards will recognize outstanding work for solar companies that are doing to improve solar accessibility and increase diversity of its customer base. We look forward to seeing lessons learned and innovative ways solar companies are doing their part to reach out for more Americans. They're not doing anything, ladies and gentlemen, but putting up websites. And you go to the website, they'll write up this script about how you can benefit from the 26% investment tax credit. That is a national tax credit. It was 30%. It was supposed to drop down to 22%, but hopefully Congress has moved to stabilize this and push it back up to the 30%. But, that's a part of the bill that didn't get passed. It's called the Build Back Better, which is everything that was made and promises to the African-American community through the Biden administration seem to have been on that part of the bill, not a part of the American Rescue Plan, which competitors may apply for consideration in the following categories: residential solar adoptions, community solar subscription, solar co-op subscription, utility scale solar community engagement, workforce recruitment and retention. Participants will submit materials in the form of a brief that outlines the background, objectives, methods, and results of the campaign. Leaders in public relations, community-based organizations, and environmental justice organizations will judge the entire entries on criteria, including visual designs and accessible standards. Submissions are due by June 10th. Nonprofit organizations, academic institutions, member solar industry, non-federal government industries, and are encouraged to apply and submit materials for campaigns that ran in 2021. Read the competition official rules for detailing subscriptions and the eligibility requirements. Now, the award is part of the American Made Challenge, an incentive for the nation's entrepreneurs to strengthen American leadership. Well, it means nothing if there's no monetary remuneration for people putting these campaigns on, because campaigns aren't done free. They cost money. Now, you can click on the link. You'll find this information up on our website. And you'll be able to click on this link, and it'll say official prize rules, and there's a PDF attachment, and there is March the 20th, National Energy Laboratory, Primary Laboratory, Golden, Colorado. And this was due by March the 20th. As well as in clicking on that, it talks about the brief description. It documents the official rules of the Shine On Award. Now, if you don't want to download that, you don't have to do that. But there is quite a bit of detailed information. There's almost 10 pages of detailed information. I've downloaded the document, and I've looked at the document. The DOE, Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, Solar Technologies Office, is partnering with the National Energy Laboratory to administer the Shine On Awards. Well, good for them. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the type of things that let me know that what I do is valuable. I think this whole campaign is structured around trying to bring other voices into what I'm doing, which I tell everybody, competition is always good. But we've been behind this mic for over 6 years now. And it took them this long to say that they wanted to reach out and give an award to somebody for running a campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans in the implementation of the Biden Infrastructure Plan? I've been asking this question. It's 2022. I've been asking this question since 2019, where me serving as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, we put together a platform which we, myself and Will Shirley, who is the vice president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. His firm is based in Jackson, Mississippi. Mr. Will Shirley is Solar Time, Sundial USA. We have not been able to get Jennifer Granholm's Department of Energy even to come to a webinar that we attempted to do last year in June to talk about and lay out what does the Justice 40 initiative mean to African Americans. Well, I finally found out it absolutely means anything and nothing but words on paper, because it says the benefits of these renewable programs are supposed to be in low and moderate income communities. Because you put an EV charger in a low and moderate income community, don't mean people from that community got even got an electric vehicle or can afford to purchase an electric vehicle to even charge to use the electric charging vehicle. These are the things, pocketbook issues, when you begin to look at the pricing on electric vehicles. They have not dropped to the point where a lot of the folks who are low and moderate income can even afford or have the credit to or the down payment to even go after one of these vehicles. So all of these things are things that are working themselves through state legislatures across this country, and every state has come up with some of their own initiatives. They've received billions of dollars, federal government. And then you got people charged with writing policy, which the policy turns into the legislation. And if you're not at the table when the policy is being structured, then you will be on the table. This is the position that the Biden administration leaves the African-American community in. And I'm going to beat this drum, because I know I had to go and charge in front of the city council in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and talk about one of the greatest programs that's been put out here called the Solar for All program, which was designed by one of the founding members of the National Association of Black and Solar, Mr. Mark Davis, who is the owner of WDC Solar, which is one of the charter members of the National Association of Black and Solar, Mr. Ted Tarbu, who is the director of DCSEU. These people are all play a crucial role in developing the Solar for All program, African Americans. But when you understand the challenges that Mr. Davis and other African American firms deal with every day, and how do you talk about a benefit to the African American community if this industry is that difficult to get into? It's not an easy industry to get into. As a matter of fact, out of over 9,000 companies doing business in the United States, we have less than 30 African-American firms. So I'm going to send this broadcast to the Sunshine Awards. I'm not worrying about whether or not we win the award. I want them to know that there's individuals such as myself out here that we've done the work. We've helped in the district numerous African Americans get PV systems on their roof at no cost out of pocket to them, because when they pay their electric, gas, and water bill, they're already paying for the system, because these fees are attached to their utility bills. See, yeah, so we try to make it plain to the African-American community that whether you decide whether you want to go solar or not, doesn't matter. You're going to end up paying for renewable energy portfolio standard legislation when it comes to you in the form of that electric bill or water bill in your community. Okay? Because these are the realities of the times that we are living in, ladies and gentlemen. And if we're going to speak it, we're going to speak truth to power. So with that being said, you can get more information by logging onto our website at positivechangepc.com. All you have to do is go over to our news and events tab. You can click on our news and events tab, and you'll be able to scroll down, you'll see the article, DOE launches Solar Communications Award. And it's always interesting to me. That's why we keep doing what we are doing here on this platform of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We're going to take a slight pause for the calls here this morning on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact.
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show is "It's power in numbers, and the positive change purchasing corporate captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, design, workforce development, EV charge, EV manufacturing, and other African-American renewable energy companies to address economic effects of higher energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young black men and women, African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Also is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which I indicated at the top of the show. You're listening to right now over the World Wide Web, over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We can be heard on iTunes, and we are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. Also, this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar. So with that being said, you can get more information on that by going to blacksinsolar.org. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to really kick into and drill down onto our lead for the day's show, topic for the show. DOE announces a bipartisan infrastructure law opportunities for rural America. Now, this is something that is very, very important. You will find DOE announces bipartisan infrastructure law for rural America. This article was published, of course, on April 11th and put out through the Solar Industry Trade Association in the industry. So what we are trying to do today, we're going to make sure we drill down in this, and we're going to make this very relatable because of a project that I've been working on for my home state, because I hail from South Carolina, which I will be on the road this evening, ladies and gentlemen, to travel home because, you know, I got grass down there to cut. It's amazing to me when you pay people and then they want to do the job the way they want to do it rather than the way you are paying them to do it. And where I'm, as I understand it, if I pay the cost to be the boss, that means I am the boss in this. And if you're not going to do it the way I'm paying you to do it, then I guess I've got to find someone else to do it or do it myself. So that is the position I find myself in, and we will be stepping stepping up front and to the table, and we'll be doing an 8-hour drive, ladies and gentlemen. So thanks for all of your advanced prayers in my journey this evening, but we're gonna get at it. We'll be in my hometown of Dillon, South Carolina in the morning. So with that being said, we're gonna look at this project because it touches things that I have been working on, a project which we were unsuccessful in getting a number of the presidents in the greater PD area, President Benson of Coastal Carolina. We sent a correspondence out to him. We sent a correspondence out to the president of Florence Darlington Tech, Dr. Ford. We sent correspondence out to the president of Coker University, which is located in Hartsville, South Carolina, to Dr. Natalie Harder. We've also sent correspondence out to Wagner, who is the president of the Northeastern Technical College, which is, they have a branch located in my hometown. And this was concerning a panel for infrastructure investment for the greater PD area. And one of the key things that we were looking at in this correspondence that we would like to share with our listening audience is the fact that electric vehicle infrastructure and the issue around I-73 coming through the state of South Carolina, which will have to come through Dillon County, and there is no plans for an interconnection or an off-ramp for the county, nor is there one for Marlboro County. And I've been talking to elected officials. That region of the greater PD Council of Governments is comprised of 10 counties that stretch all the way from the North Carolina line all the way to Georgetown, South Carolina. And it takes in, we're talking about 10 counties. So we're going to show you how this information is relatable to this particular panel that we were trying to get the presidents to come on to talk about infrastructure investments that they needed for their physical campuses. As we have worked out an arrangement with the P3 group, one of their development officers, Mr. Dennis James, that's based out of Mississippi, and they do a number of things, and we'll get around to mentioning that later in this broadcast today. But what I want to do now is sort of drill in about what this bipartisan infrastructure law opportunities for rural America. And then provides a fact sheet of details that President Biden's infrastructure and ongoing DOE initiative boasts rural energy, spur economic opportunity, increase access to clean electricity for remote and tribal communities. And you'll be able to find this information also on our website. Washington, D.C. Rural America is a crucial part of the nation's energy sector and energy infrastructure. Rural communities not only produce key energy, but also can benefit from economic growth and bipartisan infrastructure law. An existing agency efforts in the U.S. Department of Energy is committed to making transformative investments in rural energy infrastructure for clean transportation and new mobility strategies, energy generation, and use and enhance cybersecurity. DOE rural programs include work done through the Office of Indian Energy with the focus on tribal lands, which have significantly overlapped with rural lands, and interagency work group on coal and power plant communities and economic revitalization, co-chaired by Secretary Jennifer Granholm. Now, you can read the complete playbook here, which we're going to look at some of these things because they are very important. Investing in rural transportation. Electric vehicles, bipartisan infrastructure law created a joint office on energy and transportation, which will provide technical assistance to support the efficient and equitable deployment of electric vehicles charging other related programs. This office will be a key source for local communities for information. You can visit the website at driveelectric.gov. DOT Rules Energy Mobility Infrastructure Toolkit, which with technical support for DOE's Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Vehicle Technology Office, the Department of Transportation has released an online toolkit that provides a free one-stop source to rural stakeholders scope, plan, and EV charge infrastructure. The toolkit includes resources from DOE Vehicle Technology Office on electrical vehicles, basis considerations for developing electric vehicle infrastructure, connecting with local Clean Cities Coalition to facilitate infrastructure deployment and locating existing electric vehicle infrastructure. The toolkit is currently available, and you can go to www.transportation.gov/rule/EV/toolkit, and you'll be able to find that information there, ladies and gentlemen. DOE's Vehicle Technology Office, New Mobility Service in Rural America, through projects awarded as part of the Vehicle Technologies Office ongoing body of funding opportunities, the VTO demonstrates of new mobility technologies such as electric vehicles with charging, charge sharing, and first last mile microtransit. These projects are broadening the transportation choices for rural areas to provide affordable, efficient access to these services with solutions representative to local needs. Ongoing projects for rural and underserved communities are providing car sharing services for electric vehicles, electric shuttles, buses, demonstrate low-speed microtransit service for local designation, as well as connecting to community transit service to nearby urban centers. The vehicle office is located in our Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Office. Funding opportunities, timelines are listed. And you can find that website there also is eer-exchange.energy.gov. You will also be able to find that, ladies and gentlemen, on our News and Events tab. Now, we're going to sort of stroll back in, and we're going to tie this into some of the things that we're talking about. Now, when you you can go and read the complete White House rule book playbook, and it's pretty much, as we say, it's self-explanatory as to what it is you are actually doing when you're doing it. So what we're going to do, we're going to open up our News and Events tab, and we're going to sort of look at these laws, and then we're going to relate them to a plan that I put together and developed for the greater PD area, which consists of 10 counties. And Dillon County is my home county. Now, as I indicated to you, you can read the full playbook, and it talks about rural tour fact sheets. President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law will deliver billions of dollars to rural communities across the country to create economic opportunity. Supporting Americans living in rural areas remains a priority with the Biden administration. The Biden administration infrastructure law delivers on President's promises for high-speed internet, safe roads and bridges, modern wastewater systems, clean drinking water, reliable and affordable electricity, and good-paying jobs in every small town and rural community. The Department of Energy will lead the efforts on the rural energy. Rural and remote communities often face the lack of energy access, prohibitability, high energy costs, economic transition from traditional fossil fuels to other sources, and other issues that are specific to low population areas. These bipartisan infrastructure laws provide specific programs to address many of these issues in the same cases that calls out the rural area as a priority recipient. This fact sheet provides information for rural communities about available resources under the infrastructure law, where to apply, and how to find more information. Now you can go to, please write any questions to dl-regionalspecialist@hq.doe.gov. They kill me with all of these email addresses and no phone numbers, and nobody ever answers the phone. Investing in rural transportation. Okay? Now, This is a things that are very, very important that we need to be up on. Electric vehicle. In this bipartisan infrastructure law created by the Joint Office of Energy and Transportation, which will provide technical assistance to support the efficient and equitable deployment of electric vehicles, charging, and other related programs. Now, when you click on that specific link, it will go back and it takes you back in to the Joint Office of Energy and Transportation has created a bipartisan infrastructure law to facilitate collaboration between the U.S. Department of Energy and Transportation. You can contact them, and then for technical assistance, you click on that, and it will give you Build Your State EV Charging Plan. Guidance for states. Once you click on that, it opens up. Then you find out how much money is being invested in these areas. And it gives you an overview. National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Formula Programs, funding features, authorization levels, and it says, NEIV formula program, federal share and state and local match requirements, specific funding requirements, EV infrastructure deployment plans, plan requirements and deadlines, plan format, equity consideration, labor and equity workforce consideration. None of this means any damn thing when you don't have but two African-American EV charging companies doing business in the United States. Charger Health, which is run by two young, dynamic young ladies out of California. Now, what we try to do here on this program is keep it plain and keep working program administration, technical assistance tools, and local data, relevant networks, environmental data, relevant modeling tools, and relevant equity and climate impact tools. All of this information is here, but when you go to page 10, and what we want to look at is to begin to look at the overview. Now, I'm just going to give you a little of the overview. The memorandum provides a background of funding eligibilities and program guidance for the historic investment in electric vehicles, EV charging infrastructure, and a bipartisan infrastructure. Now, by year 2030, this industry is going to be worth $207 billion. The bipartisan infrastructure law, referred to as the BIL, you know the federal government likes to use a lot of initials, enacted as the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act, public law 117-58, which was passed on November 15th, 2021. The bill makes the most transformative investment in EV charging in the United States history. This bill will put on the path a nationwide network of 500,000 EV chargers. By 2032, that ensures that convenient, reliable, affordable, equitable charging experience for all users. This is sounds great on paper. A lot of money. Accelerate actable adaptation for EV, including for those who cannot reliable charge at home. Reduce transmission-related greenhouse gases and help put the U.S. on a path to net zero emissions by 2050, positioning the U.S. industries to lead global transportation and electrification efforts and to help create family-sustaining union jobs that cannot be outsourced. The BIL includes a total of $7.5 billion in dedicated funding to help EV charging accessible to all Americans for for local to long distance trips. $7.5 billion is comprised of $5 billion formula program, $2.5 in discretionary grant programs, electric vehicle infrastructure. Okay, now, National EV Infrastructure, EVI formula program, $5 billion in the EVI formula program will provide dedicated funding for the states to strategically deploy EV charging infrastructure and establish an interconnected network facilitated data across reliable initial funding under the program as directed to design alternative corridors for electric vehicles to build out their national network. Now, I mentioned to you, young ladies and gentlemen, that we have been working on putting together a business plan for infrastructure investment for the greater PD area, developing a large megawatts utility scale solar power plant with mixed land use as a business model. The greater PD area is comprised of 10 counties, Chesterfield, Darlington, Dillon, Florence, Georgetown, Oree, which Myrtle Beach is located in Oree County, Marion, Marlboro, and Williamsburg, and contains coastal and inland regions of South Carolina, Northeast Corridor. The region beaches stretch from North Carolina state line to Weymouth Bay in Georgetown County and includes the world's most famous Grand Strand on the East Coast. The area is involved in tourism and resorts with beaches, amusement, shopping, fishing, and golf. The area has become a popular retirement location in the U.S. in part because of low cost of living and its many golf courses. The inland and regional is anchored by Florence, South Carolina, located in the lower watershed of the PD River. The river is named after the PD Native Tribe Inland. It's built featuring rivers, marshes, Carolina Bay, sandy rises, and forestry, predominantly pine plantations and cypress timber. Further inland, higher ground agriculture, tobacco belt, cotton, soybeans are produced. PD has a population base of those 10 counties of 729,000. The table I will show the different counties with their respective populations. The South in South Carolina, where the country will be the seventh largest emitter of carbon in the world. If the South were a country, it would be the seventh largest emitter of carbon in the world. Recognizing the South is central to any solution to global warming, SECL seeks to prevent further construction of coal-fired plants in the Southeast to retire old, dirty, coal-burning plants to increase investment in energy efficiency and renewable energy sources such as wind and solar. Now, we look at a new study that shows the impact of the PD region of I-73. And the question comes, what does this mean if there is no interstate exchange or off-ramp exits for Interstate I-73 for Dillon? And its economic impacts on Marlboro, Marion, and Florence counties. Now, this is a specific article that was published by Greg Humblebee in the Post Carrier on May 4th of 2021. As legislators from the districts representing the PD, we applaud the Post Carrier in investing in local journalism by expanding into the Myrtle Beach area. But after reading the 24th editorial, a new interstate SE has a better way to spend Biden's infrastructure fund. It was clear that you don't know what it feels like to live here yet. The P PD desperately needs Interstate 73, which could see doing a visit to our area on any summer afternoon. And this is real, ladies and gentlemen. Now, my hometown, I happen to live in the city limits of Dillon County. It's approximately almost 73 miles from my hometown to Myrtle Beach, even though we're the next county to Horry County, which is the backdoor county to Horry County, where Myrtle Beach is located. Myrtle Beach has a $10 billion in annual impact during beach season. But you got a 70-mile backup on traffic every day. We are happy that the editor of show, the Horry County, probably does need a better evacuation routes. But PD residents understand that this point deserves greater emphasis. Now, what you have to realize is that Horry County has approximately a population of 354,000, according to the last census. Florence County, and it's about the fifth largest county in the state of South Carolina, Horry County. Florence County has about 127,000. It could be a little more based on the last data that was put in this study, and it wasn't prevalent because of the data from the 2020 census. So we're in 2022. This study was done around 2016. Now, as this article went on to say, but PD residents understand that point deserves greater emphasis. Studies have shown that I-73 would give 40,000 people the time to evacuate the coast, otherwise would not be able during a hurricane or national disaster. First, because Myrtle Beach is the only beach in the United States major tourist area that it does not have a main interstate crew connected to it. This is the reason why they're talking about building this. But they have to come through Marlboro County. Well, I spoke with the mayor of Bennettsville, South Carolina, and she says her county doesn't have the matching funds. This is one of the reasons why we put this together. Dillon County Representative Jackie Hayes is in a fight right now in Columbia about an interchange with I-95 and off ramps for Dillon County. These are issues. They're pocketbook issues. Our constituents come dangerously close to living firsthand during Hurricane Florence. Now, when the hurricane hit down there, if not for thousands of sandbags and historic efforts by the South Carolina Lineman, National Guard, the State Deployment Transportation, 501 Myrtle Beach area would have been an island with no access in or out. It is genuinely terrifying. Another crucial point missed by the editorial involves the tough businesses and economic deployment of diversification. First, the question cites sectors of the economic development professionals located access. Charleston has I-26 port, which just received $500 million to expand. Columbia has I-26, I-20, and I-77. Greenville has I-85 and nearby I-26. The large portion of the PD region is automatically removed from consideration for economic development because it's 80 to 100 miles away from the interstate. Studies tell that the interstate could create 23,000 jobs, new permanent jobs for South Carolinians, and more equitable diversity and strength in the state. Well, the PD, Dillon County only has less 30,000 people. Marion County, 30,000 people. Horry County, less than 28,000 people. They don't have the people with the tax base to justify the funding to pay for the interstate. Where and how is it that I can set up a Zoom call and ask the presidents of these colleges and universities to talk about what is the infrastructure investment needed for your campuses and your surrounding communities, and they're too busy to come when we have a company, the PG3 Group, that has over $3 billion in capital assets to invest in, meets the needs, and will provide some of those matching funds to go after some of these federal dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close this show today, but I wanted to make sure that I connected the dots with this. Now, this editorial highlighted some of the worn-out talking parts about environmental impact. Folks are on the edge. They need help, people need resources. There cannot be any help. There cannot be any resources coming when you got people talking about we do not need solar energy and renewable energy down there because we own our own utility. Duke Energy controls Marlboro County. Okay. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we've concluded and we've come to the end of another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I hope that we've connected the dots enough so you can understand what we've been trying to get accomplished on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We are still trying. We're getting ready to close the show. And we want to let people know that all this information is not available on the website, but the information concerning the greater PD business plan, but all the other information is quite available. So with that being said, we're closing out our show right now here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So until next week, we say don't meet us back here, beat us back here. We close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.